the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Okay, it is coming up to NBA All-Star Weekend. It is more like NBA All-Star Night this year. It is midway through the regular season, so it is a perfect time to check in on some of the major storylines when it comes to the basketball season so far. Delighted to welcome Hayley O'Shaughnessy to the show. She is co-host of the brand new Spinsters podcast, which is brought to you by Blue Wire Podcasts. Hayley, congratulations on episode one, and I presume you can just check out the podcast in the usual places.
Thank you. Yes, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And we have a special second episode coming out Thursday. So 2 in 1 week for the first week.
Brilliant. Well, congratulations on that. And I did not expect to be starting an NBA chat talking about Zlatan Ibrahimovic. But yet, here we are. Let's talk about Zlatan Ibrahimovic. How surprised were you that this was the latest guy to come out and have a go at LeBron James and his politics?
You know, it's funny because my first thought when I saw his quote was actually about an NBA player who was not LeBron, Tomas Satoransky, who's a Czech player. He plays for the Bulls. And I was doing a feature on Tomas a couple of years ago, and we were talking about his favorite soccer players, and he mentioned Zlatan. And he said, yeah, he's my favorite, but of course he's my favorite, as if to say he's everybody's favorite. So it was funny because I thought, that's so funny because Zlatan picked everybody's favorite to go after with LeBron. Like, he's all of our favorites. It can't be ignored the kind of politics that Zlatan is saying LeBron should be giving up. LeBron has very notably always been outspoken about civil rights and human rights. So that kind of has to be read into a little bit. But beyond that, I hate the idea of limiting one person to one thing, sports or otherwise. If I'm an excellent three-point shooter, I can't also be an excellent chef. Or, you know, if I'm a writer, I can't be a podcaster. I hope that's not what he's telling me. That's what I'm attempting right now. So I always hate that argument. And I don't like any time that anybody says anything similar to stick to sports, which it does sound like after he doubled down again on his comments was what he was saying. What did you take from that? You know the soccer world quite a bit better than me. So is this typical?
Well, we've been talking about it a bit on the show, and it's just weird that Zlatan would say something like that because he is quite good at talking about other things himself. He's been really good at talking about racism. He's been really forthright, certainly over the course of the last 12 months, and comes from a place where he understands all those issues. So it's kind of surprising and a little bit weird from our perspective to see it come out. What I'm really interested in, though, actually, is because I got stuck in this Zlatan YouTube wormhole the other day, is the American view of him, because I'd completely forgotten about his appearance on Jimmy Kimmel, where he is a full-blown caricature of himself. He refers to himself in the third person multiple times. The crowd are whooping and hollering, and Zlatan is like, I've made it. Los Angeles loves me. This is Hollywood Zlatan. But I'm not sure if he's left that imprint on the United States afterwards.
My impression, at least from... I didn't get into soccer until much later, so I can't give you an authentic impression of, oh, when I saw him as an international, for me, international player. But as somebody in the U.S., extremely overconfident, almost to a degree where you're playing it up, like you said. And the third person thing always reminded me of Karl Malone. You absolutely never, under any circumstances, want to be compared to Karl Malone. So for that reason alone, he should probably cut that out. But yes, that is my impression, that he's just super overconfident. And when you are that way, sometimes you are saying things just to say them, just to get the publicity from it. So that kind of makes me wonder if this had anything to do with that. It's a very splashy thing, again, to go after somebody who is basketball's favorite.
Very true. Let us talk about some of the potential new basketball favorites then, because I didn't want to talk about some of the young stars in the NBA. Two in particular. We want to talk about LaMelo Ball and we want to talk about Zion Williamson today. So let's start with Zion. Pelicans, they have exploded offensively, I think it's fair to say, since the end of January. Why is this?
Well, Zion's doing more ball handling himself this season, which has been really fun, because I think the instinct is to, with someone built so strongly like him and so solid, to just put the body in the paint, leave it there, feed him the ball. And that is where he does excel as well, but he can also be so much more than that. And that's why I really love what Sam Van Gundy's been doing, letting Zion take the ball down the court more. He's playing more of the role of ball handler in pick and rolls, which has been really fun. I always love when traditional big men can do that, because then you can switch up your entire offense. When the more you can get to positionless basketball, the more opportunities you have. And with someone like Zion, who's already so excellent in the traditional power forward big role, getting him more into a ball handling role is also very exciting. So yeah, it's been very fun. There is also, of course, the downside with them, which has been the defense. The entire team's defense is a bit of a mess. His in particular looks, I almost feel like sometimes when I watch him, he's just tired from all of the stuff he's been doing on the other end of the court. It looks like a little aloofness sometimes when he's, especially man-to-man. But yeah, that's my basic impression of that. However, because they're such a young team, I'll take offense over defense any day. Defense can come, but offense is much harder to come by naturally.
Is the tiredness coming from a place of the way he actually plays the game, that he's just such a powerful basketballer? He's a big guy. You don't want to come up against him, whether it's inside or outside the paint. And is that leading to just kind of a more attritional style almost of basketball, which is going to catch up with him eventually when it comes to minutes?
You know, I don't know. The big debate with Zion has been since the start, well, one of the many big debates, is that he's just out of shape. I'm not sure. There's also many other factors at play that have impacted everybody, and then they're not Zion specific. For example, adjusting to life in the NBA is not a one season thing. It's really difficult. There's a lot of travel. It's much different than college. You are required to learn how to compete against teams that are superb, not just college teams, not just some ACC teams, like when he was at Duke. And then there's also what's been happening this year. I'm tired. Aren't you tired? I mean, we're all tired. I can't imagine if you're a professional athlete and you're having to go out every night that you wouldn't be exhausted. So everything I've seen this season, I'm having a hard time judging it against, is this just something that's indicative of the larger thing that we are all going through? Or is this just maybe Zion Williamson is not in great shape? Or maybe, like you said, it's the way that he's playing on one end. He's giving so much, he doesn't have enough for the rest. So I'm not sure about that. But I don't think that any of us can make any conclusions this season, because nothing, not a lot makes sense. You can't say anything very definitively.
Well, that's for sure. And when you say not a lot makes sense, we'll come to the New York Knicks in just a moment. LaMelo Ball is the other guy you want to chat about. The question about LaMelo Ball for me is this guy good enough to be more famous than his dad?
Oh, absolutely. And his brother. Good. Both brothers. Probably all combined. And I seriously hope that for all of the sons, but especially LaMelo, since he looks like he's having such a good time, that the beginning, their introduction to the NBA, is only part of the story, of a very long story with many successful chapters. You know, it's hard. My parents are very supportive, and I played soccer, and you know, sometimes support, you just kind of want to tell them to just let you do your thing. And I can't imagine on a global scale what that feels like. I love watching LaMelo. It sounds like I can, you know, we're zooming right now, I can see your face. I feel like it's probably the same for you. He is fantastic. He's such a concise playmaker. He has boundless energy. Usually it takes ball handlers and shooters longer to adjust in the NBA. Well, I shouldn't say that. It takes every type of specialist time to adjust in the NBA. If you're great at defense in college, that's wonderful. It's still going to take you some time, even though you have a natural head start. But LaMelo's three-point shooting has been excellent. And his defense is better than I expected. And he leads rookies in steals per game, which shocked me. Points, which did not shock me. Assists, which is not surprising again. And rebounds, which is just a good stat to lead in any time. It shows that you are absolutely making the most effort you can.
Those stats are incredible. He has been a starter for a month. I think, was it the 1st of February almost? He got his first start, or at least started, looked like a regular starter from that point. So we don't exactly have a huge window. However, in February, and these are some of the stats you've mentioned here, LaMelo averaged 20.1 points, 6.2 rebounds, and 6.7 assists. He is the third teenager to do this. The other two are Luka Doncic and LeBron James. Kendrick Perkins has called him a baby Magic Johnson. So no pressure, LaMelo, but like this, like as far as February 2021 goes, the guy had a pretty good one.
I love that you just said teenager, because I wish we could be more sympathetic with how young some of these players are coming in, especially when we're more critical of them. But instead, when we say rookie, you kind of already have the tendency to think of them of like, okay, professional NBA player, they must be much older. But it's true, they are so young, and he's doing all of this. He has so much ahead of him. So yes, it's very exciting. I never thought I'd be watching this much Hornets basketball, but here I am. They also have Terry Rozier, who I love. We went to the same school.
Oh, right. Okay. Was he known right then at that point that this guy was obviously going to go to the very top?
So I went to school at Louisville, which is in Kentucky, and we are not, or at least at that point, we're not a huge NBA school. We did not produce many NBA talents, but Terry was different from the start. And so we were always extremely hopeful for that. Gorgui Dieng came before him, and then after him came Donovan Mitchell. So now we're kind of on to something. But yes, at the time, I definitely thought, okay, this guy's going to go to the league and be successful. And then he did. He had a lot of fun while he was with Boston. He went on that great 2017-18 playoff run when Kyrie Irving got hurt. So it's been very exciting watching him. And I love that he went to Charlotte. They gave him this huge payday. Everybody said he didn't deserve. I love when guys prove that they can actually earn what everybody else is telling them they are not supposed to be making. And so, yes, all in all, it's a very fun backcourt. We haven't even talked about Devontae Graham, who is very fun. He's been injured the last three or so weeks. When he gets back, forget about it. Three-man backcourt, all young guys. It's going to be extremely fun.
Let's stick with some Louisville greats. Let's talk about Donovan Mitchell. Let's talk about the Utah Jazz. They're obviously the best team in the NBA right now, but the question is, how real are their credentials when it comes to playoffs, when it comes to championships? What do you reckon?
It's hard to ever say how will this translate if you don't have somebody on the team who has translated it before. But as far as their regular season credentials, they are solid in so many aspects, and they really have something for everyone who'd want to doubt them. If you're an old school fan and you're like, well, defense is most important, look no further than Rudy Gobert, who can be the traditional big in defense, and he can also defend smaller positions. If you're saying, well, it's modern basketball, you have to play with... It's modern basketball, you have to be shooting a lot of threes. They are shooting a lot of threes. And they're also making a lot of threes. So if you're an analytics person, don't worry. They're also efficient. And if you're somebody who's like me, who tends to be more like eye test, I like to rely on what I see and then supplement it later with analytics and stats, look no further than Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley, who are leading one of the most exciting offenses every night. I genuinely think that they are set up very, very well to do well in the playoffs. However, I don't know. If you gave me a team that was not built this thoroughly and it had somebody who's been through many playoff runs before, I'd always take the person who's been through many playoff runs before. It's not to say it doesn't happen where the less experienced team makes it through. It's just that it's such a huge learning curve. Last year, we did see the Jazz. That was a really fun playoffs for them. They were presented with a ton of challenges with the Nuggets. And I hope that they can just keep pushing through with that. The good news is they're built on a very solid foundation here.
Yeah, they certainly are. Zion gave them a bit of a wake-up call the other night. Is that the sort of thing you want to see them get throughout the regular season? Where if you're a Jazz fan, you're like, I don't mind seeing my team get ripped apart in certain moments because at least it gives them the opportunity to fix them before the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. You already have the best record. They can afford to lose a couple games and still have it. So absolutely, especially if it's a versatile team, if it's a non-traditional team, if it's a team you might be seeing, or if it just has somebody, an aspect you might be seeing, okay, we're going to go against a big who's also, an excellent playmaker. Well, I wish you would have had more preparation with that last year against the Nuggets. So yes, all kinds of challenges. It's better to be thrown them now.
Wanted to get your take on the Brooklyn Nets. So their defense seems to have got a little bit better. It couldn't have got any worse, quite frankly. Who is this down to? Who are you giving the credit to? I know it hasn't been an amazing week. That game against San Antonio Spurs, I only caught highlights of it afterwards, was absolutely insane the way that ended. If you're trying to push good PR for the Brooklyn Nets and their mentality this season, that is not the sort of thing you want to be putting out there. So where are they at, especially when it comes to their defense?
It's tough because anytime you go against the Spurs, it's always more about the Spurs than it is about you. The Spurs breaking that playoff streak that they had broke my heart because I don't support many American institutions, but I will support the San Antonio Spurs. They have been around and been successful and have had the same, aura? What's the word I'm trying to say? They've had the same image for their team because Popovich leads it and he produces the same types of players for as long as I can remember. So that night, I don't remember exactly how long the streak was, but it was something like the Nets hadn't won in San Antonio in X amount of years. It was something ridiculous because that's how all San Antonio streaks are. Like, oh, for 15 years, this hasn't happened and it's always something random. Going against the Spurs is always more about the Spurs carrying on their legacy than it is about you. That being said, I don't feel any better about the Brooklyn Nets defense. I think defense is the kind of thing where you have to see it improve for at least a month to think it's really substantial and not just the result of the teams you're playing, the nights you're having. However, my advice to people who are maybe not huge basketball fans is this. If you are even mildly curious about the NBA, watch the Brooklyn Nets. You have three guys in Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden who could all run the offense on the team on their own. And the disclaimer here, of course, is that KD has been out with a hamstring injury for almost a month, but he's coming back hopefully shortly after All-Star. KD might be the greatest scorer in history. James Harden is absolutely up there in the argument for three-point shooters. Kyrie then is also this fantastical ballet dancer, ball handler who just can take over a game by himself and the other two could watch him go. The defense is horrific. Like you said, it's not as bad now. Will it not return to that? I'm not sure. Players will get tired this season. Again, I have no idea what's going to happen. This is such an unusual season. The schedule's been erratic. I don't know that it will get better, but if you are not a huge basketball fan, you will get a sudden introduction to modern NBA because defense has never been less important, unfortunately. But yes, with the offense, you feel like you're getting strapped into a jet plane and it's very fun. I love watching the Brooklyn Nets. I think they're very weird. I do love the super team era because I like imagining what we usually do with All-Star, which is like, oh, can you imagine if Kawhi and LeBron James played together? Let's do it for All-Star. But then it never ends up being really that competitive. Last year was an exception. I don't think this year anybody's very enthused about super teams are that happening for us. We get to see our favorite players playing together. So I love the Brooklyn Nets.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio. OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.